Mark Edward here. Good evening to everybody. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Ben.
We're going to introduce you in just a second, Mark Edward. We're going to do a little kickoff ritual that we regularly do, and Mark Horn will introduce me, and I will bring you on the program, if that's all right.
Fine with me.
Awesome. We're just getting started, Mark Horn. I'll let you bring us in when you're ready.
Ben, I am ready because the clock on the clubhouse wall says it is time to get started. And, folks, it is my special privilege. My name is Mark Horn, and I have the exciting duty of introducing the man behind the marketing genius credited with having sold $250 million in yo-yos in 2 years, an American Marketing Association two-time national award winner, former senior vice president at BBDO, author of the best-selling business book Think Two Products Ahead, a Magic Castle award-winning magician, a student of R. Buckminster Fuller, who now teaches like-minded entrepreneurs how to earn $1,000 a day as professional executive psychics. Dr. Ben Mack, welcome to the call.
Thank you so much, Mark Horn. I'm excited to be on this journey with you and honored to have our friends with us that are sharing this journey. Now, when Mark Horn just said that I'm teaching people how to have $1,000 days, this is the intention of ESP Bootcamp. Now, I want to get some facts out on the table. When you're going to have a $1,000 day on Keen, you know what? You're going to be pocketing about $500 of that. These are the rudimentary basics. So when you have a $1,000 day, I want you to realize that there are going to be some costs involved. But I don't know about you. When I had my first $1,000 day, it was amazing. And for the first one of my students that gets $1,000 in billings in a single day as a psychic, I am personally going to give you $1,000 cash between now and January 31st in Boise. So I want to get you up and running on Keen, and tonight you're going to learn how, because tonight you're going to learn from a veteran who's going to teach you not the specifics about Keen, because that you can figure out, we can teach you, we can give you those mechanics. What's greater than that, what's more important, is to learn the truth about how the business works. And this man, my friends, has seen it all. He has emerged victorious after having been ridden hard and put away wet, and he has figured out how to do this in a enlightening and empowering spirit. I'm going to suggest that as we listen in, we're going to hear those new entry tones that will come occasionally, and that's because our current system is not allowing us to turn those bells off. And so every time that we hear one of those bells, somebody is called the landline. We know that there are approximately 62 people that are listening streaming right now, and I welcome you wherever you are in the world. And without further ado, I know that you're going to help me welcome to the program a gentleman who has appeared as a featured performer on A&E, on the Discovery Channel, on Showtime, on the Learning Channel, on a lot more programs and on stages around the world, a gentleman who has gone from being a magician to a mentalist to a psychic who now is going to share of himself and his journey. Please help me welcome to the program, and I'm going to completely turn it over to you now, Mark Edward. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Mark.
Thank you, Ben. It's great to be here. I really appreciate the privilege to be able to talk to your students on this subject, which is, for me, it's been a real life journey. And, I think the important thing to bear in mind is that it is a life journey. And as you grow with the experience of doing any kind of reading, you get better and better at it. It's just like anything else. But sometimes the hardest is getting started. But one thing that I learned a long time ago when I first broke into the 900 phone business, and this is going back to about 1995, somewhere in there, it was very hot, it was very popular, it had just come out, and I don't know who thought of it. I think somebody was watching Saturday Night Live when Dan Aykroyd did Telepsychic, and they said, wow, there's an idea, and they took off and ran with it. But it took me a while because, again, I started as a performer. I was a magician, and then I was a mentalist. And, you know, I had to learn to get over the idea that I was performing some sort of illusion or trick, because you have to go at this, if you want to be successful, that it's not a trick, that there you're not pulling the wool over anyone's eyes. You're sharing something. You're actually communicating another way of looking at life, which is rare. And that's why I think the term psychics is a very exploited term. I think it's overexploited to the point of where, you know, executive psychic is a pretty loaded term. It can be worked that way, though. It can be worked as in being intuitive, because there's a big difference. I mean, I've gone into boardrooms and done different types of shows where I've said, you know, I'm an intuitive person. I'm going to help you show your salespeople how to use their intuition. That's quite different than saying, hey, I'm a psychic, I'm going to read your mind. And so there's a professionalism that comes with, once again, experience, but you really have to be willing to jump right in and swim. And that's really the starting point that I want to get to. There was a very famous psychic, Dave Hoy, and Dave Hoy became very famous and very popular, and he just, his whole thing was, you have to do it, because there's nothing supernatural about it. I think a lot of people initially may be put off because they think that they're dabbling in some sort of occult thing, and indeed there are people who go that route. But frankly, I don't see anything supernatural about it at all. I think that what we're doing comes from the heart. If you're good at it, it comes from love of people. You know, you have to, if you don't like people, if you don't like talking to total strangers, forget it, you know. Find some other way to make $1,000 a day. But if you truly enjoy being with people, listening to their problems, and believe me, you're going to listen to them, because listening is a key component in what we do, what I do. So my point being, I had to learn how to forget about trying to impress people, forget about trying to get applause. I'm not a magician. I'm not doing a show. I'm simply reaching into a part of my thought process that reacts to and with another person. So it's an alchemical sort of a thing. You're turning lead into gold. People come to you and they have issues and problems, or it could be purely entertainment and they just want to have a lark and talk to somebody. But no matter what it is, you're providing a service, okay? And that's another key thing. It is a service. It is really no different than a bartender, which I also have done for many years. And that's, you know, if you've been a bartender, you know that people come to you because they know they can talk to you. They don't come necessarily to get drunk, although that may be part of it. They come to you because they want to talk to you. And if you have an open ear and you can listen, then you become very popular. You do very well. So what we're doing is we're becoming an ear. So the first thing I want people to write down if they're taking notes is listen. Okay? That is the number one thing to do. You listen. You listen to what the person say, and you also listen for other cues. If you're working on the telephone, and this is something I discussed briefly last night, it's different than giving a reading to somebody when they are sitting across the table from you. Obviously, you have no facial expressions. You can't look at their shoes or their jewelry or their blah blah blah. All the typical gypsy stuff that you learn about in gypsy fortune-telling 101. But the beauty of actually working on the telephone is you don't need them. You really do not need to have any cues at all. And here's one of the big, dirty secrets about phone magic. Are you ready? Write this down. They're listening to you. They will give you all the information you need because they're paying for it. When somebody is at a party or a private event and they come to your table and you're sitting across the table from them, they are not in any hurry. They're having a party. They've had a few drinks. There's no pressure. When they're on the telephone, they're usually paying. But when I was doing it, it was $3.99 a minute. So believe me, they're going to cut to the chase. They're going to ask you what you think and what you can tell about what's going on. And now here's the second thing we have: listen. The second thing is pay attention. Okay. Many years ago, when I was in the Psychic Entertainers Association, I had the rare privilege to have some really great teachers who shared their knowledge with me. And one of them made a very profound statement. It's in a couple of my books because it really stayed with me for many years. And that is, he said, I'm trying to think of who it was. Oh, it doesn't matter. He said, what it really comes down to is in the future, meaning in the future, what being psychic is going to mean is paying attention, okay? And that's key because, and this is, again, my theory on this, our society, the world we live in, we're so busy just surviving, getting through the day, that we've lost the ability to pay attention to another human being. Thus, we're in a very close relationship with them or their family. We don't normally talk to somebody about their deepest, darkest secrets. In fact, it's mostly considered intrusive. If I was standing in a supermarket line and I turned to somebody next to me because I got a quote-unquote psychic flash about them or basically an intuitive feeling and I started telling them about it, they would probably call the security and have me removed. So we are in a society where it is not polite to converse that way with another human being unless you're given this tacit permission because you are a, quote, executive psychic or a palmist or a numerologist or an astrologer. Suddenly, you have a caveat that is like a passport that says, oh, now I can talk to this person. So this is a fantastic way to not only break into a business if you want to do it, but learning how to just communicate with other people on a level that is far beyond the average elevator talk that you or you meet somebody on the train and you give them your seat. You can learn to open up and really talk to people. And that, to go back to where I was going with that, that's something I had to learn. I had people say to me, you really have this gift, but you're holding back. So part three, let it rip. Let it rip, folks. And this is a surreal part of it for me. Doc Shields is a very close mentor of mine. If you know who Doc Shields is, he's helped me through incredible times in my life. And he and I agree that if you say the most outrageous things in the world, as long as you say them with authority and you make bold statements as if they are facts. Write that down. Make bold statements as if they are facts. You can't go wrong. And I know that sounds crazy. I mean, obviously you're not going to be too off the wall if you're starting off with this. But my point is, you are given this passport. Use it. And you're going to find, and don't ask me how or why, that if you're willing to open up and you're willing to say, basically, and this goes back to Dave Hoy again, tell people exactly how you feel about them without any regard for whether they might want to hear it or not. Now, that's a very tough pill to swallow for most people. Obviously, you've got to train your mind not to be rude, but my point is you can't sugarcoat what you feel. If you're truly a clairvoyant, if you're truly gifted with intuition, you have to just tell it like it is. That is, in Hollywood, they've portrayed it many times. That is the curse that we have. You tell the truth. You tell it like it is. Now, on phones, when you're on the telephone, work like a charm. Why would they argue with you? Now, the thing is, you can have all sorts of areas you can go in on the telephone. You can For example, I kept a huge list of 800 numbers because, frankly, and this is a warning to anybody who wants to get into this business and you haven't done it, you're going to get calls for people who are drug addicts, they're child molesters. There's a huge list of people who need help. So I've never tried to get a hook in anybody and reel them in and try and get them to call back to make extra money. Believe me, you don't have to do that. There's always somebody who's going to be calling if you work with a fairly reputable company. And the people who really need serious psychiatric help, it's your responsibility to help them out and not take advantage of them. And that's where I draw the line, and that's one of the reasons why I stopped doing telephone work, is because there were some borderline criminal activities going on, which I didn't agree with. So keep a list of extra phone numbers. You know, you're going to get a lot of domestic violence people. You're going to have people who've been beaten. I had one woman who had her eye gouged out by her boyfriend, and she was calling me. And, I mean, it's not pretty. So it's kind of the poor man's therapy, whereas somebody who normally either couldn't afford or doesn't have the wherewithal to actually go to a marriage counselor or a therapist, guess what? You're the person who's going to be dealing with them. And you better have something to say, and you better be aware that there's a responsibility. And it works both ways. I'll give you an example. One night I had a woman, she called me up. I had been working probably for 6 hours straight on the telephone. I was tired. I was not really, how can I put it, as sharp as I might be. Because sometimes you're working up to 8 hours a day. Maybe not today, but when I was doing it, 8 hours with the phone ringing pretty much continuously. And you start to wear a little bit. So I gave a woman a reading, and she was very down and depressed, and I kind of pumped her back up again, and I wasn't generalizing. I was getting to the core issues with her, okay? I wasn't using tarot or any specific tool. I was just having a conversation with this woman. But truth be told, it was more general than some of the other more specific readings I might have done earlier in the day or with other people at other times. So I didn't think much of it. She hung up, and I didn't think anything about it. 3 or 4 months later, I got a call from the company. They said, "Do you remember this woman?" I said, "No, I don't." And they had kept the time. They said, "Well, we received a letter from her. She had a gun to her head, and she was about to blow her brains out. But because of what you told her, she stopped. And we received a letter from her, and she's changed her whole life. She went back to school. She's getting into nursing, blah, blah, blah." So I didn't even know it. So, point being, there's a responsibility. And if you're glib and if you think you can BS people, you won't last in this business. You have to be genuine, you have to be caring, and you have to tell the truth. And that's difficult for a magician, somebody coming from being a magician where I get paid to lie to people. I mean, people call me up and say, "We're going to pay you all this money to come to our house and lie to us." And then being a mentalist, which is saying you're a fake psychic and doing fake things, you know, you have a lot of guilt. So fortunately, most of you who are listening to this, or unfortunately, won't have a magic background to foul up your thinking. You're going to come at this with some humility, okay? And believe me, you work 9 or 10 years doing this, you develop a humility that is profound. So I think I made my point about responsibility. Now, this goes down to the next level, which is the company that you work for. Don't get exploited. Do not get exploited, because this is a very easy trap to fall into. You got to read the contract. You got to make sure that you're getting what you deserve, because without you, they have no business. We're focusing tonight on 900 phone companies, and believe me, I worked for a few of them. And some of the nefarious methods that they used were criminal. And you have to be very careful, because you can get sucked into some pretty shady operations. Keep your integrity. You keep your integrity intact, you can actually wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, okay, I'm going to work. I'm going to help some people today. And I've been through the ringer. I've been through the ringer with magicians. I've been through the ringer with skeptic societies. I've been through a lot of different changes where I felt I had to defend myself. But in the long run, I have letters and testimonials from some of these people whose lives I changed. Granted, maybe there's one out of 100 whose life I actually made a difference with, but that's a lot more than I would need if I was doing card tricks or doing a blindfold act or some sort of stage effect. I mean, you can affect somebody's life with magic, with the wonderment, but you can't really have that emotional breakthrough with people like you do when you give a good reading. So I've given you a couple important things. Pay attention. Listen. What else can I give you about? Any questions so far? Anybody want to drop in with a quick question while I catch my breath?
Fantastic, Mark. I appreciate your asking. For those of you that are at home listening to the streaming, you can enter your question into the box that is there, and Mark Horn will bring those on in a moment. If you're listening live, where you've called in live, hit 5-star. That will raise your hand. And Mark Horn, are there questions that have been submitted into the field so far?
Yes, Ben, we have a question that's appropriate to what Mark has already covered. This is from Ed Knapp in Alabama, and Ed asks, can you be held liable for bad advice?
Good, very good question. Good, you brought me back. You course-corrected for me because I went off on a little tangent there. You know what? There's a lot of different answers to that, but yes, you can. But not only in a legal sense, but you have a conscience. I'm assuming that most of you out here have a conscience that you, like I said, you wake up and look into the mirror every morning. So, yeah, and this is why, and I'm going to say this very clearly so that everybody understands it. Do not, and I'm going to underline it, do not take medical or legal questions. I never took them. I never will. When I'm in a private party situation, I don't take them. I do not take them because, yeah, you can be responsible. And that one of the downfalls of the famous Psychic Friends Network was because of that exact thing. They had so many lawsuits, they went bankrupt. So I'm not, again, it depends on what company you work for, what their protocol, what their procedures and policies are. But just as a rule of thumb, I don't care if you're going down to the local pub or Starbucks and you're doing readings, don't get into medical or legal questions. And those who do, they do it at their own peril. I mean, I see people on Larry King who give these medical readings. They're freaking crazy because if they could do that, if somebody could give a reading over the phone on television and be as accurate as a medical doctor, I mean, prove it to me, but it's just not a good idea to get into. So no medical, no legal questions. If somebody wants to get into about my husband, is he cheating on me, this sort of thing like that, don't even go there. You know, best thing for you to do is deflect it by over the phone. Many times I taught people how to use a pendulum. And if you're familiar with pendulums, pendulums work off of idiomotor responses that will give them the answer that they already know. Let's face it, if somebody calls you and they're asking about whether their husband or wife is cheating on them, do you think they have some sort of idea in the back of their mind? Once again, most people call 900 lines, not most, but let's say a lot of people call 900 lines because they're looking for validation to something they already know. Most people have a question, not most. A lot of people have questions they already know the answer to, but they're afraid or they're stubborn and they don't want to deal with it. So they call a psychic so they can do one of two things. If it comes true and it's truthful, they say, wow, the psychic knew that. He was incredible. Or on the other hand, if it doesn't come true, they can say, ah, some psychic told me that. I knew it was bull when I heard it. The point being, if they're looking for validation, you deflect it right back to them in a legal or a medical question. That's why I always had a list of, not medical doctors, but, you know, helplines so that I could say, you know, I don't talk about cancer. I don't talk about brain tumors. Here's a number you can call. Someone can help you with that. They appreciate that a lot more than if you just try and BS them, because they know. They know that you're not a doctor. Most people do. There are going to be people who don't. But it's not. It wasn't my job to lead people astray. I'm trying to help people and not waste their money or time. I'm trying to give them some value for their money. So does that answer that one?
I think that that answers it extraordinarily well. I'm curious, Mark Edward, from my own perspective, in terms of collecting tools for myself and for my students, is if in any of your books, if you have a list of these kinds of deflections. I know I'm about to receive in the mail Confessions of a 900 Number Psychic. Is that something that I can find in that book of yours, or can you tell me a little bit about the tools that you offer? Or?
Sure. Well, Confessions of a 900 Psychic, I should tell you about what it really is. What it is when I was working during those 9 years, I would hear the most incredible things. And that was part of the reason why I stayed in that for so long, is because, frankly, it was quite entertaining. I mean, a lot of it was just a job, which, again, I make that sound just as it is. It was a job. It's just like punching a time clock and going into work. But every once in a while, you know, maybe two or three times a day, there'd be what we used to call a zinger. A zinger was a story or a situation or a customer or a client that just knocked me out, just knocked me off my feet. And I had to learn to deal with it some way, because at the end of a shift, my head would be full of all this stuff, and I'd be walking around going, oh, my God, like the woman who had her eye gouged out, you know, or I talked to people who were abducted by aliens or had haunted houses and on and on and on. So what I did is I started inputting them into the computer, just brief little paragraphs to kind of store them. So after 9 years, I had several hundred pages of these character studies and readings. So what I did is I framed that around the business of the 900, and then I went into the different categories. It was planned to be a much bigger book that we were trying to get published, but we kind of stayed with a couple chapters to see how it would go. And so to answer your question about the 800 numbers, frankly, I just compiled those on my own.
Mm-hmm.
What I did is I went into the yellow pages, and I looked under 800 numbers, and I just went down the list. I went, you know, Cocaine Anonymous, AA, Cancer Association. They're all there. And then as I would, and I usually had a yellow pages right next to the phone, so if it was something that I didn't already have on my list, which was on a clipboard that I kept right next to the phone, I could look it up. So, but they basically fell in certain categories, and I'd know from within the first minute of talking to the person, you know, if they were inebriated or, you know, it became fairly, you know, there was nothing psychic about it. It was just common sense. So yeah, the Confessions of a 900 Psychic is more of a, which later morphed into Psychic Blues, which is it's a book of, how can I put it, true life stories, but woven into a narrative, fictional kind of a framework. So the tools really that I used came from being a mentalist, basically. The tools I used came from Robert Nelson books, believe it or not. These are old books on cold reading. They came from Lee Earle. They came from all the teachers that I, Richard Webster, people who I met in the Psychic Entertainers Association, whose readings I just started to read and started to learn about. And I had one very good mentor, Jules Lanier. I don't know if Ben remembers Jules Lanier.
Sure.
But he was kind of like my the grandfather I never had but always wanted, because he kept me on track and showed me how to work it, how to get the interest without becoming too unbelievable. So it's hard to say specific tools. I mean, there's so many books out there. Not, and this isn't even going into the New Age category. I mean, there's all of that too. But I think in a way I was privileged because, and this is something that I think is key too, is that the people who I learned my skills, if you want to call them that, from, were number one, they were entertainers. Number two, they were psychic, if such a thing exists. So think about that for a second. Because the biggest names that are out there, that's what they do. If you look at Uri Geller, he's an entertainer. He is very entertaining. You watch him work a room, or you watch Kenny Kingston, or you watch any of these people who've been around for a while. They are entertainers. They know how to propel their work with storytelling and emotion, and that's why so many people who are quote-unquote psychics that you see at psychic fairs, they just fall flat in comparison because they don't. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm any better or any worse. I'm saying that I was privileged because I had a background of performing and working with entertainers who made it very interesting and very captivating and compelling to watch and listen to, whereas the average psychic that I would see at a psychic fair, they were okay, but they weren't animated and they weren't performers.
Mm-hmm. This is fantastic. We've got a question that I want to bring on, and
okay.
Your content is fantastic, and I'm excited right now. I'm just excited. But from the 404 area code, who do we have joining us on the call right now?
It's John Stringer.
John Stringer, welcome.
Thanks. My question was I just listening, it seems like there's some performance element and some psychic element, as you've addressed on being good at this. And I guess my question delves more into the psychic area as far as you phrased it, I think, if such a thing exists. I've done some work since February of last year with channeling and spirit guide contact and stuff like that. Practiced meditation for a while, and this is something that just happened and I never really believed in. And I've used this tool as a way to help people, and what I've been able to do is have people email questions, and I've been able to contact the spirit guide and get these amazing answers that I've often felt I couldn't come up with myself. Well, to shortcut this.
No, I know where you're coming from. I can address it. Absolutely. Don't take me wrong, okay? I am not trying to say that such a thing doesn't exist, because I know it does. But I just don't want to promulgate the idea that I personally can call on it and make it happen. You see, I think what we have is we have a world where these experiences happen every day if you are open to it, to all sorts of people. But there is a problem when you say, okay, I'm going to call on it from 9 a.m. this morning till noon just to answer the telephone. And I think you would agree to that. I mean, again, what is the difference between, I mean, we have these terms in our language. We have, and they're wonderful. I've written about them. We have terms like, gee, that came to me out of the blue, or that came to me off the top of my head, or gut level. Well, what do you think those things are from? They're from spirit, okay? So,
right.
And the whole point is, if you are able to help people from talking from that point in your soul, then I'm not going to argue with it. It is real. You know, if you're helping people, there's not a problem with it. It's just I have run into many, many psychics who are charlatans, who say they're speaking from that point, and they're really not. So, again, if I came up like I was putting it down, don't get me wrong. I have a profound respect, but
I couldn't tell, but I didn't think you were putting it down. I guess what I wanted to do was address, given that that does exist, or assuming it does exist, working with premise, my question is, what do you advise in the sense of helping? Because I can only do it, or I shouldn't say I can only. I've only experienced doing it in that realm, whereas someone talking to me live, asking questions, developing the ability to tap into that.
Okay, good.
I
got you.
It. So how do you do that?
Okay, well, I think one of the best ways to develop this ability we're talking about is to do automatic writing, to keep a journal. One of the things I used to have my students do is you keep a journal, you get a blank, like a blank book, one of those things you buy at the bookstore, and you write two columns down the right-hand side of the page, and one column at the top says hits, and the other column says misses. And every time you get one of these revelations or these feelings that you're talking about, whether or not you're talking to anybody or a client or a sitter or not, you could be standing in the shower and suddenly you get something and it seems interesting or powerful. You take the time to sit down and write the date, the time, and what that thought was. And what happens is if you're willing to do that over a period of time, it's kind of like I call it balancing your psychic checkbook. What you do is maybe at the end of the month, you go over those back pages and you say, where did I get a hit and where did I get a miss? And then you can connect the dots. Then you can say, well, wow, I was really good about predicting lotto numbers, but not so good with the weather. Or I did really good with this person and that idea, but I didn't do so good with this. You following me? And by connecting the dots over a period of time, you take the next logical step up the ladder of your evolution as a intuitive, because you have verifiable information that you can look back on and say, look, this was good, this was not so good. So that's one way to do it.
That's fantastic, Mark. And I wound up thanking John and remuting him so we can bring the next call on. But I think what you just gave is a very tangible way of keeping records.
Absolutely. And after a while, it's like riding a bicycle. You know, you have trainer wheels for a while. After you play with this, and again, play is also an important aspect of this kind of work. After you play with it for a while, you can throw the trainer wheels away, meaning you gain the confidence in your intuition so you don't have to keep that book and keep doing it over and over because you know what you're good at.
That makes a lot of sense. And right now we're bringing into the program the energy from the 203 area code. Who do we have the pleasure of joining us?
The energy from the 203. All about energy. Hi.
All about energy. Hi, Amy.
Hi. I wanted to say a couple things. I totally relate to what the last caller was talking about. I experienced that. I'm a channeler,
Amy, I'm going to mute you because there are times that you have a tendency of taking over a program, and I want to share with people that Amy's name on Twitter is All About Energy, and she is a big ball of energy. And Amy, it mm-hmm. is your place now to either ask a question or to thank us, and it's not an appropriate place for you to comment on other callers.
Okay, so it's not, I was
program,
all right. Is it an appropriate place to share or not share?
It is appropriate for me to thank you so much, Amy, and I'm going to ask that those that have questions, if you want to raise your hand and hit 5-star, I'll bring you on for a question. If you have a question, you're at home, you can type it into the box, and we're grateful for all of your energy, and we also want to keep certain things in place. For instance, tonight, Mark Edward is our guest of honor. And tonight, Mark Edward is our teacher. And I want to use as much from Mark Edward's knowledge as we possibly can. And so that's why this is a Q&A section. It's not for our other guests to share from their experiences. It's for us to learn from the master who is gracing us with his knowledge presently. Mark Horn, is there a question that has come in from those that are out listening to the streaming audio?
Yes, Ben. We have a couple of questions here. This is from Tom in Miami Beach, and this relates to doing work as a dream interpreter. He has a lot of experience with this, and his question is, since he has a success working with people with nightmares and other difficulties, is this an opportunity worth looking into for Tom?
Okay, I can definitely answer that. Tom, you know, many years ago, when there was a plethora of psychic lines on the telephone, there was an actual dream interpretation line that was started by one of the major companies, and I got on board with it. And in fact, Alex Lukman, I don't know if you're familiar with his books, but Alex Lukman was kind of my mentor. And in fact, it's interesting, see, here's a little synchronicity. He is the one who told me I just have to lighten up and let it rip, let it go and speak your mind. But what I was going to say about the dream line, it went belly up. And I think the reason, this is my own personal opinion, was that dream interpretation is a fantastic thing to do. But when it's on the telephone, it kind of loses, it becomes very clinical. I mean, even though if you're good at it, if you're good at interpreting people's nightmares, start your own line, you know, definitely, if you think you can do it. But it's such a personal thing that it's kind of hard to, it just didn't go over. I know that they had a hard time selling it. In other words, it wasn't the phone ringing off the hook all day long. There were a few calls here and there, and basically one of the other lines actually took that as a subject that they would deal with. You could pick whatever kind of area you wanted to deal with as a reader, and they made it one of the areas to deal with. So it's definitely a valid area to work with. And if you're going to work for a company that's a phone company, ask them about it. But as a solo thing, it's kind of hard for people to open up on the telephone. As a one-on-one thing, as a therapist, if you're having people come to an office or something like that, it's fantastic. So, and I think dream interpretation is a whole other field because it's so personal. It really is. It goes into the subconscious and different levels that are not always approached in a standard reading. I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but I'd say there is a potential there. I would say if you're already working for somebody, find out and go ahead and do it and see how it goes. Because, again, it's been 10 years, so who knows what's going now is what went 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
That's fantastic advice. And, Mark Horn, you said there's another question that came up and is ready for Mark Edward.
Yes, Ben, this is Suzanne in New Hampshire. She wants to know from Mark, are you not required to help alleviate pain, even when medical, support them through techniques to help them?
Well, I don't
think
anybody...
in relation to clients. Are you not required to alleviate their pain?
I don't think there's any such thing as any requirement in the psychic realm. I think that you do what your heart tells you to do. No, but if somebody starts requiring me to do something, I don't want to work for them. Thank you very much. In other words, I go where my heart tells me to go. And the requirement is on you. The onus is on you as the practitioner. It's not there's nobody above you. Okay, you may have somebody who gives you your check every week, but there's nobody above you. You have to start thinking of yourself as having no competition, okay? You don't have competition. You are a specific person that's given a specific gift. Now, in my case, I just decided, hey, you know what? I'm not going to leave myself open for a lawsuit. I'm not a doctor. I don't want to deal with cancer. I don't want to deal with negativity, frankly. I mean, it may sound very selfish, but you know what? It's just I try to help people how I can. If somebody else wants to alleviate their pain, again, pain comes in a lot of different forms. It comes in emotional pain. It comes in physical pain. If somebody is in physical pain, you're damn right I'm going to help them out. I'm going to get them an 800 number. I'm going to direct them where to go. Now, if you're suggesting that somehow I could alleviate that physical pain, that's not something I do because, again, you are going to be the one that's blamed if it gets worse. So emotional pain, that's a different story. I think that you have to be clear on that. But there is no requirement, as far as I know. I don't think that anybody requires an intuitive person to do anything other than what they do from the heart.
I love that I love that description. I want to use this time for a moment to throw by you something, a taxonomy of what I call psychics and performing philosophers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little unfair of me because I didn't prep you, and I'm going to – it's actually like a 16-segmentation solution.
I like it. I like unprepared. Go for it.
When I first began studying psychic marketing 3 months ago,
yeah,
the first thing that became apparent to me was the politics within the arena of psychic entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed quickly a division that I want to make among those that knew that psychic powers do not exist. For instance, Lee Earle. Lee Earle, in The Gentle Art of Cold Reading, talks about how he knows that there is no psychic power. And then everybody else.
Yeah.
And so I started with that as a division, as that there are at least two types of psychics, those that know it doesn't exist and everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw a different division, and I saw a different political, you know, stuff arising where there was extreme fighting. And that was a division between what I called heart-guided versus qualification-minded.
Exactly. Well, that's why I'm no longer a member of any association that wants to pigeonhole me, because those areas overlap. But go ahead, carry on.
So you can see how that's a division of four right there, where we've got the non-believers versus the open-minded.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've got the heart-guided versus the qualification-minded.
Right.
All right, and then for each of those, I'm going to suggest that there are four preferences that we might want to look at. And what I noticed is that the four elements, and Wes Unruh helped me make this insight and helped me refine this taxonomy, but that the four elements of air and fire and earth and water can be seen as aligning with what Osborne identified as the four profitable forms of creativity in terms of ideating and clarifying and implementing and developing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw a real symmetry between those two systems. And as I looked at my friends that were performing philosophers, whether they be magicians or psychics or those that help in corporate events, you know, do brainstorming. I call all of those kinds of activities performing philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And what I noticed is that, like, the ideators are like the air. And they're like the performer. You know, you can put them on a stage and they can go. And, like, the developers are akin to the earth, and that they tend to be like my friends that are the producer types. Do you remember David Doyle, Doyle Sturken from the juniors?
Yeah, they're, you know, I worked with him at the castle many, many years ago, so sure, yeah, I remember the name. I haven't talked to him in many, many years.
He's the producer type. You know, he's always grounded. And like, you know, he goes, Ben, I love you, and I just regularly, I can't track with what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, because us air types, us ideators, us that can have a billion thoughts in our mind. And so I don't necessarily know that there's an immediate profitable use for this taxonomy.
Yeah.
But it was helpful for me because as I was looking at the different psychics that were out there, I was able to say, oh, if you're this type of psychic, I began seeing that different strategies might work for different types of players.
Absolutely.
And the one unifying thing that I wanted to bring into ESP Bootcamp, because I want ESP Bootcamp to be about making ourselves more sustainable. And for many people, that means getting more predictable income into their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so ESP Bootcamp is going to be a mastermind around becoming professional executive psychics. And I use the term executive to remind us to treat ourselves as professionals. Because when we treat ourselves as professionals, we are then able to interact with other professionals and to command professional wages.
I totally agree. So now, was that a question? I'm trying. Are you just making a
I'm just grandstanding and doing exactly what I showed Amy or asked her not to do, but I'm also throwing it out for the validation
important.
In terms
can I take,
of...
Can I take it to another level a little bit there?
I would enjoy that. Thank you, Mark.
Okay, so all these different types, these A, B, and C types, you know, they're all, to me, that's the audience. See, I don't think of them as separate. I think of them as they're all going to be, how can I put it, they're all going to drink from the same well eventually, okay? Whether the person is a producer or he's a thinker, we're all after the same drink of water. So, and part of what I think is a successful psychic is somebody who can reach the greatest amount of people possible. That is what we really want to do, don't we?
Absolutely.
So it's difficult because I came to blows with people who wanted to say there's no such thing as psychic things, and I'm in the midst of it right now, almost on a day to day. I won't go into it, but on a day to day sort of a thing. But I also know that one time when I was at the castle, there was somebody there who was an avowed skeptic, mentalist, and he made some sort of challenge during the week there. I don't know if you were there back there. I forget the guy's name, Howard somebody. Anyway, this guy, he made this statement at the castle during one of his shows during the week, and when he did his lecture that Sunday, the whole audience was mentalists. And we're mentalists. And Francis Willard stood up and said, "We're here because these mentalists, all these people you see in this room, 90% of them are going to tell you that they have had some sort of experience because they have opened the doors in people's minds. In other words, they pretended to have psychic powers. And guess what happened? Doors open. Synchronicities happen." Bob Cassidy says, "If you set the table for synchronicity," and I do every time I do a stage show, "if you set the table for it, it'll show up. If you leave an open space and you believe that this stuff happens, it happens." Now, we don't know what we want to call it, and I don't say I believe in it, but that group that day showed me that when you play, because magicians and mentalists play with these ideas when other people don't even think of it. Other
mm-hmm.
people don't deal with ESP cards and telepathy and precognition. It's a joke to most people. But,
mm-hmm.
but magicians and mentalists, they get up on the stage and they pretend. And when you pretend, so my point is this whole room stood up and made this guy, he had to take a nice piece of crow because he was going around telling everybody that, like, and I don't put Lee Earl down. I love the guy. But, you know, he was saying there's no such thing. And people said, beg to differ. Here's all of us, and we're professionals too. And don't be so easily, don't put this down quite so easily. So
mm-hmm.
I guess my point is it takes all these different people to make the world go around. And we have to find ways to get to as many of them as we possibly can, because that's when you get your $1,000 a day.
I'm glad that you brought us back to this, because that is where I had intended to go before I went on a little circuitous path.
I liked it.
The place is that what I'm holding that everybody that comes here to Boise on January 31st will agree on, and I learned recently the importance of asking for agreements before people arrive. And the one piece of homework I ask for people is to listen to Lee Earl's 80-minute CD on the gentle art of cold reading. The new agreement that I'm asking everybody is that whether you are an ardent skeptic or if you are a true believer, that when we arrive in Boise, that we are there to help each other And Matt, I'm hopeful that the one thing we can agree on is that our roles as performing philosophers and psychics and magicians and entertainers of the variety arts is to spread levity, and that we use our insights to empower others. And that's what I'm hoping can be that common ground, is this agreement that, like as Lee Earle says, that he sees himself as doing good because he's helping people see their own mirror, and that he's spreading levity, that he's spreading empowering, enlightening ideas. And that, I hope that we can all agree, is something that this planet, that our spaceship Earth, could use more of. And as alone as Bob Cassidy might occasionally feel in his reality tunnel, I am warmed by your bringing him up, because the artful mentalism of Bob Cassidy is a fantastic Discordian lens through which I see greater peace joining our planet and increasing the speed in which every human on this planet might have immediate access to drinkable water. Because what I truly hold is that we literally would not need to have, you know, one half of the military budget we have if we gave drinkable water to every human on this planet. It would cost us a fraction of that amount. I imagine that if we encourage and inspire more people to come from spaces of listening, that we might hear each other in a new light. I know we're at the end of our hour, and this is the first of two training sessions with you, Mark. And I'm grateful for our listeners that have been listening in live. I'm grateful for Wes Unruh, who's going to take this audio and tighten it up and make his magic with his audio. And I'm grateful for Mark Horn, who frames the stage so professionally and has been with me for so long. And Mark Edward, I'm going to turn it over to you to say goodbye to our friends until all of us are back again for your second lesson.
Okay.
But on behalf of myself, Mark Horn, and our listeners, we all thank you, my friend.
Thank you. And I want to thank all the people who've tuned in to listen, and I hope I gave you some things to think about. You've certainly given me some things to think about, and next week we will cover home parties and how I've been very successful with seances and home parties, and how to and I think levity is really a good point. And I'm going to sort of close with that. There's nothing worse than the doom and gloom psychic. You know, you will not stay in business very long if you. In other words, there are people who speak from the heart, but their hearts are, I don't know, kind of messed up. So keep it light, keep it simple, and you'll be successful. So I'm going to leave you with my website, www.themarkedward.com, and I will talk to you all next Thursday, I believe, or is it next Tuesday? Well, we'll figure that out. So
I'm going to let you choose right now, Mark Edward.
Yep.
Would you prefer to meet next Tuesday or next Thursday?
Let's do next Tuesday.
Fantastic. So it's going to be the same bat day of the week. Are we doing the same bat times?
Sounds like a plan to me.
Very good. Awesome. So we've got that set for next Tuesday, my friends. We're meeting here. We're going to put out the links, and it is going to be at 11 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 p.m. Pacific. Talk to you then.
Thanks, Ben.
Welcome. Thank you.
Good night.